2. Surviving a night in A&E. A senior registrar at an NHS teaching hospital gives an account of a night shift, handling life, death, and too many trivial decisions.
I am a senior registrar A&E doctor in a major teaching hospital. I qualified over 10 years ago and have been an A&E doctor for 3/4 of my career. On most daytime shifts, I am in charge of a section of our department, such as the resuscitation room, majors, minor injuries, children's A&E or clinical decision unit. When I work night shifts, I am in charge of the entire department, covering all those areas.
10 p.m.
I start work and take a handover of all areas of the department. There are 72 patients in A&E. Half of them haven't seen a doctor yet. 10 of them haven't even seen a triage nurse who will decide how serious their case is. We don't have enough space for them all. All the beds in the resuscitation room, recess, are full. Patients with chest pain are sitting on chairs waiting for up to an hour for an electrocardiogram, ECG, to make sure they're not having a heart attack. Patients with minor injuries have been waiting for more than 3 hours to see a doctor. The day shift is finishing. More doctors are going home than are starting for the night shift. That waiting time is going to get longer. I cannot divert more doctors to see those patients because I need them with me in majors and resus to see the more unwell cases.
11 p.m.
The ambulance service calls to say they're bringing in a very unwell 80-year-old with difficulty in breathing. He's going to need the resuscitation room, but it's still full. I have to decide which of the sick patients in there can come out to a less high-priority area. The population is getting older and carrying a higher burden of serious illness. Patients with long-standing heart, lung, or kidney disease can become extremely unwell very quickly, especially if they catch flu or a vomiting bug. We are getting better at treating them. There is more we can do, but it takes a huge amount of resources. It's expensive. The result is people do get better. They live longer with their chronic illnesses, and they keep coming back when new complications arise.
2 a.m.
The last 4 patients to arrive by ambulance were drunk. Very, very drunk. They're taking up A&E cubicles and nursing staff, meaning that the old man who got a taxi here with chest pain, he didn't want to bother the ambulance service, doesn't have a cubicle or a nurse. We're seeing more and more drink-related problems.
3 a.m.
A woman arrives with her 3-year-old son in an ambulance. The boy has had a runny nose for 3 days and vomited once tonight. There's no way they should be here, at this time, when he just has a cold, and they certainly shouldn't have called an ambulance. But we have to see him anyway.
4 a.m.
Phil has arrived in an ambulance. It's the 3rd time in the last 24 hours, the 10th time this week, and the 20th time this month he's come to A&E, every time by ambulance. He has heart disease, it's true, but every time he's come to see us this month, we found nothing acutely wrong with him. Maybe he's lonely. Maybe he thinks it's funny. Maybe he actually thinks there is something wrong. I'm not sure. But I do know we'll have to do an ECG again, and a doctor is going to have to spend time carefully examining him to be sure that this isn't the time when he actually is unwell.
5 a.m.
I still haven't had a break. I'm tired and hungry. We still have 35 patients in A&E. It never stops. Patients want a 24/7 health service. Only A&E provides that. So they come, and they come, and they keep coming, all times of day and night.
7 a.m.
Another priority call from the ambulance service. An 86-year-old man was found on the floor of his home by his son, who was going to pick him up for a hospital appointment. Meanwhile, a man in his 40s with a 3-year complaint of back pain wants to know why he's been waiting for over 2 hours to see a doctor.
8 a.m.
Time to hand over to the day team. I'm past being hungry now. I just want to crawl home and into bed.